last week we introduced the sugya of a shoel. And we saw, even though the Torah says if you borrow something, you're chayiv for a nishbar omeis, for any type of onus that happens, even if it dies, that nothing you could have done about it, the gemal chamavos could have killed it in the owner's house just as much as in the shoel's house, still there's a gzeiras kasuv that a shoel is chayiv for anything that happens. However, the Gemara from Svara says that if it died while the work was being done with it that you borrowed it for, so that's called Mesa Masma Lacha. And there's a Svara that the Shoel can say, I'm not going to pay, because you know when you lent it to me, it was for a purpose. You didn't lend it to me that I should just lock it up and keep it in the closet. You lent it to me that I should use it. So if the result of the use it dies, I'm Shibi Patu. We saw two Svaras in the Rishonim why that should be true. The Ramban says that's true because if the owner gave the shoel a cow that died in the middle of plowing, that's his pshia. Why did he give him such a shvach cow that can die in the middle of plowing? It's his pshia, it's a pshia on his part that he didn't check in to see if this cow was really going to make it. And since he wasn't careful, it's his pshia, and the shoel is therefore patur. The Nemuka Yosef said a little bit differently. The Nemuka Yosef said the reason that you're a patur when it's Mesa Machsim Alacha is because since the owner knows that when the shoel uses it, there's a possibility that it might break or die, so Mamele, he's matirit, he gives up that right to demand payment if it breaks during use, and because of that, the shoel is patur. Based on these two reasons, we said there's a big difference in halacha, and that would be if someone borrows a car. So if the car just dies, the engine dies, the transmission dies while it's driving, that's typical Mesa Machas Malacha, everyone will hold that the shoel is patur. But if the person's driving normally, and someone else, another car, rams into it and totals it, so there we said, according to the Ramban, that will not be included in the rules of Mesa Machas Malacha, because here there's no indication from the performance of the car that it was faulty. To say that, according to the Ramban, well, it's a pshia of the owner, why did you give him something faulty? It wasn't faulty, it was something unavoidable happened. That's an onus. So according to the Ramban, the shoel will be chayiv to pay for the damages of the car being totaled, assuming the mazik's not around to pay. And according to the Nemuk Yosef, which also is the Ramah Shita and the Shulchan Aruch Shita, he'd be part of it, because when you give over a car to someone to use, you know there's a possibility it might be in an accident. So according to the Nemuka Yosef Svara, the reason of Mesa Machsim Alacha still applies. So he said, according to him, the person would be Pater as Mesa Machsim Alacha. Then we concluded, we said that if the car was parked, so then, even according to the Nemuka Yosef, the person could not claim Mesa Machsim Alacha, because there you go back to the Svara, that it wasn't the Nesiva says, if anything happens that could have happened in my house and it happened in your house, the borrower, so I can't say, well, when I gave it to you, I knew there was this possibility that it might happen. Right? There's no more reason why it should happen in when I lend it to you, if it's parked in front of your house or parked in front of my house. So that would be a typical case of an onus. There's no difference if the cow dies in your house or my house. Either way, you're chayiv. So in that case, we said the shoel would be chayiv, except if it's a place, he took it to a place and he told the owner, I'm taking it to a place where it's more dangerous, it's more likely that it could get stolen or totaled when it's parked. So there also we would say, according to the Ramah, when the owner gives it to the borrower, he realizes that there's that possibility, he gives it to him anyway in good faith, and if something happens, he'll be potter. And we pointed out, you always have the option of making a tonight. I'll lend it to you, but I want you to be responsible, even if it's Mesa Machsim Alacha. Okay, so that was last week's year, and I'm reviewing it, first of all, Chazar is good, and second, because it's Nogeya, tonight's case. Tonight's case, this is based on the idea I got from the Mishpat Shlomo. We're going to not do exactly the way he does it, but he has a case where Reuven lent Shimon a pen, and Shimon was using the pen, and like happens sometimes when you use a pen, it falls off the table, and it was an expensive pen, it fell off the table, and it broke. Maybe a more contemporary case would be that you're at a chasana and you need to make a phone call and you ask the person next to you to use a cell phone and you hit all the numbers and it falls out of your hand and shatters on the ground. Right, so will that be a case of Mesa Machas Melacha? Well, let me tell you Shara Melech. Shara Melech had a case in Hilchos Chol Mazik. A woman borrowed a fleshik pot, a cheres fleshik, an earthenware fleshik pot from her friend to use for cooking. And while she was cooking, she took a milchik spoon and stirred the fleshik things that she was cooking. The food didn't have shishim, right? It's Yerodeya here. The food didn't have shishim to be mevatel the time of milchiks that were in the spoon. So because of that, the food became treif and the pot became treif. And this is a cheres pot, it's earthenware, and there's no way of kashering it. So the shaila was, is she chayiv to replace the pot, or is she pashit? That was the shaila the Shara Melech had. Now, he deals with a lot of issues because there's a rule called Hezek She'eino Nikur, where you can't tell, you can't see the Hezek, so he ends up there, but that's to be also because Hezek She'eino Nikur were machmir. Maybe you could say, look, here I'm giving you a potluck, what do you want from me? Here it is. Harisha Chol Panacha, that might be an issue. But at the end, he says, Asvara, he says, according to the Ramah that we learned last week, according to the Ramah, when you lend something to a person, it's not like the Ramban said that it has to be something inherent, right? According to the Ramban, there'd be nothing to talk about. According to the Ramban, this isn't going to be Mesa Machas Melacha. According to the Ramban, it's only Mesa Machas Melacha if the item that was borrowed, you could see was intrinsically faulty, so then it's a pshia on the owner in giving it out. Right? So that wasn't the case over here. Here, you know, it's not the pot's not magnetic to, you know, push away any milk or spoons away from it. They don't make the pots like that. It's the pot is fine. So according to Ramban, certainly you couldn't say it's Mesa Machas Melacha because there's no fault of the pot that the milchik spoon got put in it. But according to the Ramah, the Shara Melech says, that's not what makes Mesa Machas Melacha. According to the Ramah, it's Mesa Machas Melacha. When you're working with it, something unavoidable happens, something accidental happens. So in that case we have a halacha of Mesa Machas Melacha. So the Shara Melech concludes that according to the Ramah, this will be a din. And he says, even though the Ramban disagrees, but since it's a matlokis, he seems to be saying that you can't charge the lady to give a new pot if there's a mesa machas melacha. If it's a matlokis, whether it's mesa machas melacha. So that's the way the Shara Melech passes.
Okay. According to,
well, if I think what he's saying is, and I think it's could be a good svara. I mean, you see this from the Shara Melech. You see that even if it's shia, if it's something we learned before that shikha isn't shia, right? Except the shikha to forget where you put an item. But if you, like we had the case that someone asked you to watch the bags and you put them into the luggage compartment like you should and you forgot them when you got off the train, and by the time they got back to the train, the bags were gone. So we saw from many posts from the Shavuos Yaakov that that's not called Shia, because people forget. It's part of life, people forget, and you can't call it Shia. So it's not Shia.
Yeah,
it's not an onus, but I think what they're saying. What they're saying is that if things like that happen, they happen all the time. So, what is it? It's not Geneva Vaveda. It's not that. I could hear. Maybe you should say it's like close to Geneva Vaveda. You know, it's the level of unawareness might have been the unawareness that causes a Geneva or an Aveda. But the Shara Melech holds that since things like this happen all the time, so it's not called a Shia, it's something that happens all the time. So Mimela, you can't make the lady chayiv. And that's why he passed on the Maisa. What the Pesach Choshen disagrees with is another point. The Pesach Choshen says it's not so common. If I lend someone a car, so there I could say, or like last week's case, the Ramadan's case, if you lend someone a horse, it happens that if you take it, he tells you he's taking it on the road, it happens that sometimes, you know, it gets stolen, it gets killed along the way. But usually if you lend someone a pot, you don't expect it to come back trafe. Right? Otherwise you wouldn't lend it. Right? Most people are aware enough when they're cooking, especially if they're using someone else's pot, that they're aware enough not to put a milchik spoon into a fleshy thing. So he's not saying it. I don't think he's saying it as that it's a pshia. He's not saying it's a pshia. The pisri chosh. He's just saying that the Ramah Svara was right. The Ramah Svara again wasn't just when any. It's not exeris the cause. If while you're working something happens, you're always going to be potter. The Ramah Svara was that. Why are you potter? Because when the owner gave the item to the shoel, he knew that there's this risk that since he's taking it on the road, something could happen unavoidable that wouldn't happen if it was sitting in his house. So because of that, he's matir et lemisa. That was his lashon. He's mochel that. He's mochel that possibility. So Tzvi Choshen says, can you say the same thing about giving a pot to someone? Well, that I know when you lend out pots, a lot of times people trace them up. So I'm not too sure that he says that's unlikely. Okay, it's the Sharmel says it is likely. It's maybe in the Sharmel's times people were less careful. I don't know. But Pitzri Choshen says another interesting halacha. He says that a lot of times there's gemachs where you want to borrow a place out for a chasana. And we spoke a little about this when you were renting it. Right? But here you're borrowing 100 glasses for the chasana. Now there it's very common that 100 people there that are guests that only 98 are going to come back intact, that a couple of them are going to drop because all the chasana things move around. It's very common, and not only the one under the chuppah, but it's very common that glasses break at a chasana. So he wants to say that it could be that a coin, and he says a coin to the Ramah, that will be called Mesa Machsum Malacha. Because there, the first case, the Sharm Melech's case, there it's not common that you lend something to someone and they'll trafe it up. Things don't become trafe so often. You could go months and months without having any shiloh about a trafe shiloh. But
that you know.
Okay.
Very well.
But you do know that if you give 100 glass cups to someone, that it's a good chance they're going to come back broken. So he says, according to the Ramban, that's not Mesa Machsum Halacha, because according to the Ramban, the fact that a couple of them break, that doesn't show anything intrinsically wrong with the glass. Everyone knows that if you drop a glass, it breaks. So it wasn't there wasn't a pshia of the owner to lend out his glasses when they're going to break. He was just a nice person, and he assumes that if they break him, he's going to get compensated for it. But according to the Ramah, who has a svara, whenever the owner knows that when I give this item to this person, there's a chance that it's not going to come back alive, or it's going to be damaged. There's that possibility, and I'm mochel that possibility. I'm a nice person. I want to lend it to him. So in that case, I would be called Mesa Machsum Halacha, and I'd be patur. So that's what this question passes the Maisa. Since it's a machlokes, like we said last week, you say, I hold like the Ramah, and you would be patur because you have what grounds to stand on. So the Mishpat Shlomo says, so l'chora, that should be the same case over here with the pen that broke, or the cell phone that broke. Right, we should say, according to the Ramban, certainly you should be chayiv, because there's nothing wrong with the cell phone or the laptop that had the coffee spilled on, or the pen that fell. There wasn't anything wrong with that. It was just something outside that happened. So according to the Ramah, we should l'chora say that he'll be patur. That's Mesa Machsum Halacha, that the owner knows that there's this possibility when something happens, when you give this pen to someone, that there's a possibility that it might fall and it might break. However, the Mishpat Shlomo concludes that, at least in this section, he concludes that there's a big difference between these cases and the cases last week, similar to, I think, what the Pisri Choshen is saying. He says that it's not so common for a pen to fall down and break. You can't use the Ramah Svara, as it's true that it, while he was writing, while he was in the middle of the Malacha, it fell down and broke. So it sounds like it should be made some Machsum Malacha, but the Ramah Svara was, when I lend my item to that person, I know there's a possibility that it could get stolen or die or something could happen along the road. So that's called Mesa Machsum Halacha. So he says that's common in the times of the Ramah, when you would take something on the road, a horse on the road, is very common that it could be stolen through highway robbers. Something like that could happen. That's then a matirit lemisa. but if I give a pen to someone, how often is it that a pen falls and breaks? A pen could fall. But how often is it that a pen falls and breaks? A cell phone falls and breaks? Coffee spills on the keyboard. How often does that happen? And even if it happens, how often does it break from that? So since he also is like anti-intuitive, like the fact that it's less common, it's a more unusual occurrence that could happen, makes Yechayev. Right. The fact that it was so, if it was more common that such a thing could happen, that such a breakage could occur, so then we say, the point of the Ramah when I lent it to him, well, I knew there's this possibility, and this makes a maxim halacha, so you're potter. But if something so unusual happened that who would have ever thought of such a thing happening, you can't use that svara to say, well, when I lent it to him, I knew that there was this possibility, and I'm awful that. Who would have thought that he would drop it in a way that it would break? And so the Mishpat Shlomo concludes that in such a case, you cannot use the Ramah. However, there are two other possibilities to make the person potter. One the Mishpat Shlomo says, the other one I'd like to suggest. The Mishpat Shlomo, let's first see this Gemara on the first side, Bar Metzia. And that's to realize, and that's really the main new thing we're going to learn tonight, that we're going to define what borrowing is. We're going to define what it means to borrow something. In English, I'm not sure if every time we say, can I borrow something, it has it in of a shoel. Right, so the Gemara has a series of four shilas here. Boi Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama had four shilas. The first one is, Sha'ala l'rava. If someone borrowed an animal not to ride, not to use for normal uses, he's using it for rava, to be roveya it. Mahu, what's the halacha? Is he called and then it died, or it had a broken limb? Is that called a shoel or not? What's a shaila? The Gemara says like this: Kedeshayli in Shibayina, to be called a shoel, that you're going to be chayiv for an onus, doesn't have to be a way that people normally use that item. Ruhachil Shaila in Shia, no one uses an animal, no one normal uses an animal for Ruviya, so we should say that he would be pater because he's a socher, you know, he's having some benefit from it, so at least he's a socher. Oh, Dilma, time of my, or do we say, what's the reason a shoel is chayiv for anything? That's Mishumah, no, because he has some benefit, he has some pleasure. By Nami, Yislehano, this person also has some dubious benefit from the object, so he should also be chayiv for an onus. So that's the Gemara's first shayla. To be called a shoel, do you have to use the item in the normal way or not? Right, it could be in any case. Can I borrow your pen and you use it to hammer nails with it? Right, so it sounds you asked to borrow it, but it could be you don't have a din of a shoel unless you're using it in the normal way that it's meant to be used. The one has a second shayla. Sha'ala le'iroz ba'amahu. You borrowed the cow, but not to use, not to plow with it, not to ride on it. You just wanted to get a loan. You wanted to get good credit. So you borrow someone's Cadillac or Lexus, and you pull up to the bank and say, can I have a loan? You wanted to show that you have a lot of money. So you say, can I borrow your Lexus so I can get that loan? So that's what he used it for. So mamona binan vahayika is the din of borrowing dependent on whether you borrow money, and you borrowed money, you borrowed something of monetary value. Or dilmar perhaps, mamona tisli hanomini binan. You only caught a shoel if you benefit directly from that object. The lekan here, you're not benefiting from the animal, it's just some peripheral side benefit you're going to get that the people are going to think that you're rich and give you a loan. That's not called hanah from the animal. So that's the Gemara's second shaila, that maybe you're not called a shoel, you're not called a borrower in the Torah's terms to be chayiv for an onus, unless you are actually having direct benefit from the object that you borrow. The Gemara now has a third shaila. Suppose you're getting direct benefit from the item that you're borrowing, but sha'ala lasos v'apach mipruta. But the use, the benefit that you got from it is worth less than a pruta. Mahu, what's the halacha? Is it called a shoel as soon as you borrow something of value, and a pen is worth more than a shoel pruta? So you have some mammon here. Odemo, or perhaps, or do we say, if the benefit you're getting from it is worth less than a pruta, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as anything. Right? So here also, how do we define what a shoel is? Do we say shoel only applies to some hana you're getting if that hana is worth a pruta? But if the hana is not worth a pruta, the thing you wanted to use the animal for was not worth a penny. You wanted to rub yourself with it. You wanted to do something that's not worth a penny, so maybe that's not called a shoel. And then there's a fourth question: if there were two cows and together they were pruta, what's the halacha? So that's why Rashi understands the Gemara. Rashi understands the Gemara is talking, are you called a shoel? Is the halacha of shoel limited at all to cases where you are having a solid pruta worth of direct benefit from the item that you borrowed? Or are you called a shoel as long as you borrow it? You borrow that person's object, no matter what you plan, what you're planning on doing with it, no matter how much it's worth, no matter whether it's direct benefit or not direct benefit, you're chayiv to pay that for any onus that happens. That's the Gemara's shaila. The Rambam understands the Gemara differently, because if you look at the sugi, the whole sugi there is talking about the sugi of shaila b'vaylam that we spoke about. The shaila b'vaylam is a halacha that if you borrow something and the owner is working for you or he's doing a favor for you, so then there's a het of she'ela v'vaylam. So the Rambam learns that this whole, of course you're a shoel. You're a shoel no matter what. If you borrow something, we don't care why you're borrowing, what you're using it for, you borrowed it, you're a borrower. The she'ela is if the gzeres hakasa of she'ela v'vaylam applies in these unusual cases. Right? So there's a machlokas Rashi in the Rambam. If a shoel is a blanket halacha, no matter what you borrow, you're called a borrower. It might be a shayla if you have a heter of shayla of a bible. Or Rashi learns that it could be you're not called a shoel to be chayv in an onus unless you borrowed something that for direct benefit and that benefit is worth the fruit. So the Shulchan Aruch says a lesson like this: shoel parah l'rava, if he borrowed a cow for a revia, olei rose, to be seen with it, to make himself look wealthy, olasus b'apochus m'shavah pruta, or to do less than a shavah pruta work with it, olashashal shtei paros, lasus b'mshavah pruta, or he borrowed two cows to do a shavah pruta, areza safek ve'imotzi in miyado, it's a safek and you can't be motzi mamon. So the Sma says, the Mechaber said this lashon to show that he holds that it's a shayla, that both pshatim are right. Rashi's pshat is right and the Rambam's pshat is right. That if you lend something to someone for an unusual use or a use that's less than a shavah pruta, it's a suffering and you can't be motzi imamen. It's a sveika didina. Right? That's what Shulchan Aruch paskens. So the Mishpat Shlomo says it's very likely that how much money would you make to lend your pen to someone to use? You might not be able to get a shavah pruta for that, right? Especially if it's a cheap pen. But you would. It's very likely it's not worth a shavah pruta. So the Mishpat Shlomo concludes his shaila that even though it's unlikely to call this mesa matzah melacha, because according to the Ramah, because it's not a usual thing that happens that a pen should drop and fall, to say that the owner had that in mind, that when he lends it to this person he's matur in the misa, you can't say that svara. But there is a svara to say it's not a shoel at all because it's not a shavah pruta. So you don't have this whole din of shoel the way Rashi understands the Gemara, because you're not getting a shoel pruta benefit. You're getting some benefit, so you'll be a din of a shoel mesachar. It's like you're getting some payment, some hana for using it. And the halach is once you get some hana, so then you're mahani, you agree to pay for gnev of aveda, but you won't be a shoel. And that's the way he concludes. The second svar I wanted to say was based on a machane Ephraim. Machane Ephraim says, it brings to them a bit, that there was a case where someone was asleep and the friend saw that he was cold and he put his blanket over him to keep him warm. And through some onus, the blanket got ruined, stolen, because some onus. So at first glance, we should say he's a shoel. He's borrowing the blanket and he's chayiv for anything, even if it gets stolen, even if it's an onus. However, the Machane Ephraim said, the Mabit says that you're not called a shoel unless you know you're a shoel. There's a difference between having benefit and borrowing. Not every benefit you get makes you into a shoel. You're only a shoel if you say, can I borrow this from you, and you know that you're borrowing it. That makes you a shoel. If you're a sweep and someone puts it on you, and because of that you have benefit, that doesn't make you a shoel. But that's the way the Mappis says. The Machane Ephraim learns from this that there's this rule that a shoel doesn't depend on the shimush. It doesn't depend on the use. It depends whether you're really borrowing it. So if you did not borrow it, even though you have benefit from it, you're not going to be chayiv for an onus. You'll be chayiv for the neva aveda, like this far, since you had anah, so you're agreeing to accept responsibility for geneva and aveda. So the Pisri Choshen wants to extend this Machane Ephraim to an interesting shaila. He says, if you're invited to someone's house to a meal, and you're sitting at the meal, and you're using that glass, you're one of these people that break the glass, and you use the glass and it slips out of your hand and it breaks. So, or something else happens over there. So, do we say that you're a shoel? Right? You're borrowing his cup, you're borrowing his plate, and if some unavoidable onus happens, you're going to be chayiv. Right? Maybe we should say such thing. You sit on his chair, you visit someone's house, and you sit on the chair, and it breaks. When it's not, it makes a maximum law, I would say. But are you called a shoel, you should be chayiv as an onus. So he says that should depend on this Machane Ephraim. According to the Machane Ephraim, we could say that just because you're using something, it's true you're using his plates, you're using his cup, you're using his chair, but that doesn't make you a shoel. But the Machane Ephraim's chiddush is, because you're having benefit from something doesn't always make you a shoel. It has to be that you borrowed it. Can I borrow this? What's pshat in borrowing? Maybe it's taking it home, using it, or borrowing it in his house. Can I borrow it? The fact that you're using it, that you're being mishtamish with it, doesn't make you into a shoel. So he has a shaila. He says certainly the only time you can consider him a shoel is during the meal, when the meal's over and you're helping to clear off the table maybe and something falls. So then you're not going to be called a shoel at that point. At best you'll be a shomer sachar. And then he says, maybe between courses also, that course is finished. Whatever you're finished with, you're not going to be a shoel. The shaila is, when you're using it, are you a shoel that if anything happens, you're going to be chayiv? So he wants to say from the Machane Ephraim, it could be that you're not chayiv. So I was thinking, that would be the same thing over here. If you borrow a pen, and like you're at a checkout and you need a pen to write a check, so maybe according to this Machane Ephraim, that doesn't make you into a shoel. The fact that you're using someone's property, the Machane Ephraim says, doesn't necessarily make you a shoel. The fact that you're getting benefit doesn't make you a shoel. We see the way Rashi understands the whole shaila in the Gemara, that to be a shoel, there are certain rules that make you a shoel. It has to be a normal use, it has to be a shoel prut, it has to be direct hana that you're getting from it. Just because you're using someone's thing, you're getting hana from it, doesn't necessarily make you a shoel. The Machane Ephraim says, based on the Mabit, that you don't become a shoel unless you know you're a shoel, unless you're actually borrowing it. But just because you're getting some benefit from someone doesn't make you a shoel. So I spoke to a few people about it. They heard such a chiddush. It could be that not every time that you use your cell phone to make a phone call, I don't know if that makes you a shoel, that now you have the responsibility and all this chiddush hakra, that you have a shoel, that you're chayiv for something that unavoidable could happen, that dies while you're using it, right? So does that make you chayiv as a shoel? Right? Sometimes the computer dies. The cell phone dies. The pen, something, it can die. So do we say, because I asked to use it for a second, could I use your pen? That makes me a shoel? Or maybe only a shoel. Look, I'm knocking the door, I'm going on a trip. Can I borrow your laptop? I'm going to need it for a few days. That could be a shoel, that you're taking it for an amount of time for a certain specific, I don't know if it's fully time related or if it's just like a different type of use, but just like a one-shot thing, it could be that the flaw you're not a shoel. So that would be two reasons possibly in this case, even though the Ramas Svar doesn't apply to say it's called Mesa Maxim Alocha when a pen falls, but first of all, if the use was not worth the shoel Reputa, that would make you Pater. And second of all, maybe you're not part of Shoal. You just asked to borrow it for a second. You're using it, but I'm taking a step further than the Machne Ephraim. Machne Ephraim, the person was asleep, but the Tzrichoshen is talking where you're invited, so maybe that doesn't make you into a borrower. Here I'm taking, he's taking a second step, I'm taking a third step to say maybe even if you ask, can I use your pen for a second? I don't know if I tell you that. You say, can I use it or can I borrow it? Maybe when I say borrow, that makes you a shoel. So maybe that's something to think about. But to conclude the whole shiur, if you recall, around 3 months ago, it was 10 shiurim ago, we had a Rambam. The Rambam had a psak halacha that if a woman is washing dishes in her house and the dishes break, the Rambam paskins she's not chayiv to pay for the dishes to her husband, because that's the takana chachamim. The chacham made a takana. If a woman would be chayiv to pay for broken dishes every time she breaks one, so she stopped doing the dishes. So the chacham made a takana. If the woman breaks the dishes while she's washing them, so she's patur. The Ravid asked the kasha on the Rambam, why do you have to say that it's a takana chacham? It's a big dish. It says it's a takana chacham. The Meister, we said the Rambam has a Tosefta, that's Mashmah, that says that. But why, the Rabbi asks, why do you have to say that it's a Takana Sochanim? Say better, say it's Shemira Bebailim. She's working, she's a Shomer of the dishes, but the owner of it, the husband, is working for her. But he supports her, so it's called Shemira Bebailim, and that's why she should be Patur. So the Rishonim asked, the Magid Mishnah asked, what kind of Shemira Bebailim is over here? Shmir Rebailim, we said, is only a patur where something, even by a pshia, it happened. It was negligent. You left it outside, then you didn't bring it in, and it got ruined. But if your mazik would be a dayan, how can you call that a Shmir Rebailim? Right, that's the kasha they asked on the Ravid, and that's apparently what the Rambam holds. The Rambam holds it's not Shmir Rebailim here, because she was mazik, it'd be a dayan. Right? She dropped it with her hands, and that's why the Rambam has to say there's a takon, it's chachamim, that makes her patur anyway.
Right.
So the Machne Ephraim said that's not called Masi B'Yadayim. Masi B'Yadayim is like you're saying, if you step on something and you break it, right? But here it dropped out of here, and that's not called Masi B'Yadayim. But many Rishonim are Masha that is called Masi B'Yadayim. Why is it called Masi B'Yadayim? Because the thing's in your hand and you dropped it out of your hand, you're Masi it with your hands. So it's at least a machlokas rishonim. So I'm surprised he doesn't mention that. But if you're using a pen, it drops out of your hand, and that's what you said in the very beginning. You said it's pesheya. So I'm saying it's not pshia. What it is you're an adam mazik. Because an adam mazik is chayiv, whether it's a yashim, whether he's awake or he's asleep, whether it's an onus or rasim, whether it's accidental or on purpose. But that's a din of adam mazik. So over here, there certainly should be an issue, at least a shayla, that maybe the dropping the pen, there's a good shot that should be called automamasik, or you're dropping the cell phone, it's in your hand and you drop it, that's automamasik. Even tipping something over onto something, that might even get into aish. But certainly if it's in your hand and you drop it, according to the Rambam, it seems that that's called automamasik, so that throws everything out the window. Because the whole shiur we're talking about is he a shoel, or a regular shomer sachar? Is it called meisim achsim alacha? Is it able to evade? Those are all issues if you're a shomer. But if you're an adam mazik, so then everything's out the window, except maybe shmir of a bialim. But that was an initial over here. If you were mazik, it'd be a dime, so then for sure you'd be chayv. So that's an issue to think about. So in conclusion, in this case of dropping the pen and breaking it, it seems, according to the Ramban, it's certainly not a Mesa Machsim Malacha. According to the Ramban, it's also probably not a Mesa Machsim Malacha because it's not a usual thing that you drop it and it breaks. We said that it could be that we could be Pater though, because maybe you're not called a Shoel since it wasn't a use of the Shoel Kuta. The second spot we said maybe you're not called a Shoel because you didn't ask to actually borrow it, you're just using it. There's a Svar that a use doesn't necessarily make you into a Shoel. But then we concluded that there could be an issue that this is a real Adam Amazik and you don't have to talk about Shoel and Shomer anymore. There might be a din if you drop something out of your hand, you're called an Adam Amazik. So in that case, you'd be chayiv in any event.